Well, this is a time of year we're still eating leftovers from Thanksgiving, but we're preparing for Christmas. We're moving into that Christmas preparation season, and some of us are much more efficient at this Christmas preparation than others. A year ago, Thanksgiving evening, a year ago, we were at home as a family sitting around. We had celebrated Thanksgiving with family, and we had finished watching our annual Thanksgiving night movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And I noticed Kim was on her iPad, and at exactly 8:18, she closed her iPad, and she announced, "Done Christmas shopping for me." And I looked at her and said, "I love you." Christmas morning, we're opening presents. The kids opened their presents. I opened my present from Kim. And I looked at her and I said, "Where's your present from me?" "I don't know," she said. "Where is my present from you?" I said, "I thought you ordered it Thanksgiving night online." "No," she said, "that's when I finished Christmas shopping for everyone else." Like I said, some are better at this than others. We're here this morning and each time we gather this season to help you prepare for Christmas and not shopping, decorating, or cooking. You don't want my help with that, trust me. We're here to help you prepare your heart for Christmas. The theme this Advent is, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And we don't mean by the Christmas lights, the decorations, and so forth. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas when we open our hearts to God's love, God's hope, God's joy, God's peace. That's what we mean. And we're going to help you do that over the next 4 weeks. We're going to celebrate Advent together by talking about God's love, God's hope, God's joy, and God's peace. And then, of course, we'll have a wonderful Christmas Eve service and Eve, and I hope that you can enjoy that with us and bring family and friends. And actually, this year, Christmas Day falls on a Sunday, so we will have a united service here together on Christmas morning, a little shorter one, so that we can go off and do the rest of our Christmas Day activities. But we're here this morning to help you prepare for Christmas. And 9 months before the very first Christmas, God prepared a young woman's heart to receive the very first Christmas gift. God prepared Mary's heart to receive God's gift of love and then to deliver it to the world. Let me read the account for you from Luke chapter 1. Listen to this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. My focus this morning is on those very first words that Mary heard, the very first words spoken to Gabriel, from Gabriel to Mary. Greetings, you who are highly favored. You, Mary, who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, this is God's promise to Mary, but it's God's promise to us. It's God's promise to you. This promise is all the preparation you need this Christmas. Now, I know that this promise is unique to Mary for a very unique event. But this promise is an echo of God's promises throughout all of history. And it's God's promise to you. This is Christmas. God loves you. You are highly favored, deeply cherished. And God demonstrates that love by Emmanuel, God with us. That's Christmas. And this morning I want to deepen our understanding of God's love so that you can experience it more deeply this Christmas season. You know, God's love drives everything God does. 1 John chapter 4 declares, God is love. God is love. That means that the ultimate expression of God is love, and the ultimate expression of love is God. If you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. If you could squeeze God, you'd get love. You can't, by the way, squeeze God. But God is love. It's His essence. It's who He is. Everything that God ever does and has ever done and wants to ever do is an expression of His deep love for us. For you, for me, for all of humanity. Take a quick tour of history with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that there is in love. Without God's love, there would be no creation. It was an expression of His love. Everything that we experience in creation, all that is good and beautiful, all that God declared is good, is an expression of His love. God's relationship with every person, or at least His attempted relationship with every person in history, is an expression of His love. It was in love that God called Abraham and Abraham's descendants to be God's image bearers on the earth. And it wasn't because of anything they had done. It wasn't because they had earned it. It was simply because God loved them and God loved the world. In love, God delivered His people from slavery in Egypt and led them to a place, to a new land, where they could live in a love relationship with God. It was in love that God actually gave them the law, the way to live in relationship with Him. And it was because of love that at every opportunity in history, God shows up to be with His people through burning bushes, through clouds of fire, in dreams and visions, through angelic messengers. The tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, was God's gift to God's people to say, I want to be right with you in the middle of your lives. Even God's discipline was done out of love. When God's people loved other gods, God disciplined them in order to bring them back into a loving relationship with God. You see, everything he's ever done is because he loves us. And it was still while Israel was kind of under God's disciplining hand that God sent Gabriel to Mary with this message of love. Greetings. Hello, deeply favored one, deeply loved one. Don't be afraid. I have good news. I am with you. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. I joke every Christmas, and my family's sick of hearing me say this, that the most often heard phrase at Christmas is, that's what Christmas is all about. Right? How often will we hear that this month? We hear it all the time. Listen to the marketing. Get a good deal on an appliance, a new or used car, a diamond necklace, and the advertiser will claim, that's what Christmas is all about. A Hallmark movie reunites friends or family, and the narrator will say, that's what Christmas is all about. Find the perfect recipe for eggnog, and, well, sorry, no one ever said, that's what Christmas is all about. But would you do this for me this Christmas? When you hear that phrase from television or the radio, or when you read it on a billboard, that's what Christmas is all about, will you join me this Christmas and just say to yourself, God's love. God's love, that's what Christmas is all about. May I give you a brief Hebrew lesson this morning? There's a Hebrew word. It's a very important Hebrew word in Scripture. It's one of the most important Hebrew concepts in the entire Bible. It's a Hebrew word, chesed. Chesed. H, in English, we often spell it H-E-S-E-D, but the H is kind of a soft C-H, so it's like chesed. Say that with me, chesed. Now, apologize to the person in front of you for spitting on them. Chesed. Chesed. It's a word that's used again and again to describe God and to describe God's relationship with us. For example, Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in chesed and faithfulness. The best English translation we can come up with is steadfast love. God's steadfast, never failing, always consistent love. This phrase, by the way, this promise is repeated a dozen times or so, word for word, in Scripture. God's chesed is so critical to understanding his character, his nature. The Psalms repeat this refrain. So Psalm 89, I will sing of the Lord's great chesed forever. With my mouth I will make his faithfulness known. And then one of the most unique psalms in the Psalter, the song that's very interesting, is Psalm 136. And there are 26 verses in this song, all with the same chorus. 26 different verses, and they all end with the same chorus. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His chesed endures forever. Who by his wisdom made the heavens, his chesed endures forever. The one who remembered us in our low estate, his chesed endures forever. Chesed is a very full word. It's full of richness, kind of like me on Thanksgiving, full of richness. It means steadfast. It means unfailing. But one of the words that I love that it means is relentless. Relentless. God's love is relentless. And when I think of relentless, I think of we had a dog, a Boston Terrier named Abby. Now, some of you remember Abby when she was with us. Abby was a relentless dog. Absolutely relentless, the most relentless animal I've ever known. I would come home from work, sit, and she would want to play, and she would never stop bouncing in front of my chair. Relentlessly, come on, come on, Dad, come on, come on, come on. So I would finally get up and we would go outside and she loved to play fetch. And she would play fetch relentlessly, never tiring, never wanting to quit. She also loved to play tug of war. You could grab a ball or a rope and hold it, and she would grab the other end, and she would never want to give up. Literally, you could pick her up with the rope or the toy. She would not let go. I finally learned that if I would just hold it and she would grip it with her teeth, she would eventually fall asleep like that, and I could get a break. She was relentless, and that is a picture of God's love. God pursues us. He never tires. He never quits. He will never falter. And he doesn't ever fall asleep. He never gives up. That's his love. As one poet has described God as the hound of heaven. The hound of heaven. So God's love is relentless. The second part of the promise that the angel Gabriel gave to Mary was that God would be with her. And this is how God demonstrates his relentless love. God loves us so much that he says, I will be with you. Again, this is a promise that's repeated throughout Scripture. For example, Isaiah 41, do not fear, for I am with. I am with you. God says, don't be afraid. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. God is with us. And God is very intentional about this. God isn't accidentally with us. Like, you know, if you're at the store and you accidentally bump into a friend. God is purposeful. He's intentional. He comes to your house. He knocks on your door, not because he's a stalker, but because he loves you and he so desperately wants to be in a loving relationship with you. He will do anything and he will take any means, and he has. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. God's promise is this. I am with you. You are not alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am working out my purposes in your life. I can be trusted. I can be known. I am with you. I saw one of those funny church signs this week online. You know, I don't know that it's real. It may be made up, but it's one of those signs that they put on the church sign. It's supposed to be funny. And this one was supposed to be from God, and it says, don't make me come down there. And I realized it was meant to be funny, which I appreciate, but it communicates all the wrong images about God, doesn't it? It communicates that God is like a parent upstairs who's busy with things that really don't concern me, and if he does interact with me, it's because he's angry. And that's the exact opposite of what we know about God. Now, sometimes we live in that false understanding. But if anything, this Christmas, understand that's the opposite of who God is. God wants nothing more than to be with you in love and to enjoy a love relationship with you, to favor you, to care for you, to provide for you, to love you. Forever. I love the greeting card by Max Lucado that says this: if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he'll listen. He can live anywhere in the universe, and he chose your heart. And the Christmas gift he sent you in Bethlehem, face it, friend, he's crazy about you. Let me sum it up this way. What God is saying to Mary, what God was saying to the people of Israel, what God is saying to the whole world, and what God is saying to you is this. God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. That's Christmas. I joked with the preaching team this week that my sermon was going to simply be, God loves you, Merry Christmas. And some of you are thinking, then why did you say all that other stuff? But that's the bottom line. God loves you more than you can comprehend, more than you can ever imagine. God's love is relentless. He will never quit on you. He will never give up. And God is with you. He demonstrates his love to you by doing everything possible, and he has done everything in order to be with you. As awful as I might be at preparing for Christmas, and I'm still shopping for last year's Christmas gift for Kim, we have a God who is prepared. He has prepared himself, he has given himself so that we might experience the greatest Christmas gift ever. Will you open your heart to him? Would you pray with me? And I'm going to just give a moment of silence here, and I'd like to ask you to just express your heart to God. Express your heart of thanksgiving for God's love, for God's presence. Just pour out your heart to him in thanks and praise. Loving God, God of steadfastness and relentless pursuit, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas because of your love, your hope, your joy, your peace that you made available to us through Jesus Christ. And so we sit today humbled at your love. We're humbled that you would love us this much, that you would make the sacrifice, that you would make the effort, that you would go to the ends of the earth, become a human because of your love. And so we open our hearts to you today. We open our hearts. With open hearts, we receive your love. We receive your mercy. We receive your grace. And of course, Lord, not because we've earned it or because we deserve it, but simply because you love us. That's overwhelming that you would love us that much. This Christmas, this month, Lord, deepen our understanding of your love. Deepen our experience of your love and of your presence with us. And in response, we will live lives that demonstrate your love to the world. You are good. Thank you, God, for loving us so much. In Jesus' name.